You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me is the biggest Jeff Gordon fan I know in the Ball State commit. Remember that. Ball State. Chirp, chirp. Go Birds. Maxwell Gilly.
What up, Indy? It is the month of May. It is the best time of the year for sure.
Also, I'm joined by the biggest Purdue fan I know, the one, the only, Garrett Burkle.
Good morning, good morning. And it is indeed May in Indianapolis, It's just such a special time.
Oh, yeah, so it's a great time. Last but not least, I am joined by the Indiana State commit, Owen Pooley.
Good morning.
How are you, bud?
I'm doing great.
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. It's time to get right into your NASCAR news. We're going to talk about what happened at Dover Raceway this weekend. The NASCAR Xfinity Series last Saturday, April 29th, Ryan Truex, at 31 years of age, scores his first NASCAR win and the main three series of NASCAR and the NASCAR Xfinity Series for Joe Gibbs Racing at Dover International Speedway. His home race, Max, his home race.
I mean, we talked about this earlier in the off-season editions of All Gas, No Brakes, how we were excited to see that Ryan Truex was going to be getting some Xfinity Series races. He gets some, and now he is successful. So, I mean, it's great to see him get a win, but to get it at his quote-unquote home track, that's just great. It's been an interesting season so far when we look at the Xfinity Series just based on the variety of winners.
Yeah, much agreed, Max. A good day for junior motorsports. You had Josh Berry finish second, third, Justin Allgaier, and you had Brandon Jones finishing in eighth. It's just a great result for junior motorsports. It's been a rough start to the season, especially for Brandon Jones.
I mean, this is what happens when you don't have your teammates try and spin each other out to win. It's much better chemistry, which is great if you are a fan of junior motorsports, because like we've been talking about all throughout the NASCAR Xfinity Series season, it was shocking, to say the least, just how dysfunctional it seemed like junior motorsports was to start the year. And I mean, they have some talented drivers. All of them obviously are talented if they're going to be chosen to be in junior motorsports. And with the potential, I know there's still been the rumors of junior motorsports eventually wanting to make it to the Cup Series with the charter. You want to have your guys performing well in the Xfinity Series. And if that comes to fruition, I'd love to see Josh Berry get his full-time gig. But, yeah, it's exciting.
Last but not least, Sam Mayer finishing in ninth for junior motorsports. That's all four cars in the top 10 for junior motorsports. It was a really good day overall. And they're usually really good at Dover in the NASCAR Xfinity Series.
100%, 100%. You need to be good if you're junior motorsports. You're one of the premier teams in the Xfinity Series. So, I mean, heck, the defending champion is from junior motorsports. He's now in the Cup Series. So, you need to be doing well, and that's what junior motorsports has been doing as of late.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cole Custer has been on a roll. If you are a fan of Stuart Haas Racing, which I am, in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, he picks up his second in a row, Dash for Cash at Dover International Speedway, finishing seventh, $100,000 going back to Cole Custer and Stuart Haas Racing. Max, you know, Cole Custer's been on a roll recently with qualifying on pole at Martinsville, and he's just been on a roll. Top tens have been really consistent.
I mean, this is almost a career revitalization for Cole Custer. You saw him go up to the Cup Series. I do think that he was rushed up there a little bit too quick. Yes, I know he had some championship before, but you know, now he's back down the Xfinity Series. This is what you needed to see, and hopefully, as I expect some changes to be made to Stuart Haas Racing, because who knows how long Eric Almirola is going to get a seat. Maybe Cole Custer will be the next one up.
We never know. We will see. But I do have some intriguing news when it comes to Stuart Haas Racing and one of their most popular drivers and most successful drivers will be coming up later in this episode. Moving on, the results from yesterday. Well, not yesterday, excuse me. From Monday at Dover International Speedway, you had Martin Truex Jr. win his first NASCAR Cup Series race in 54 races at Dover International Speedway. The hometown favorite, his third win at Dover. Max, what are your thoughts?
This is exactly what Martin Truex Jr. needed because, oh boy, like you said, 54 races without a win. That's shocking for Martin Truex Jr. as of late. This is what we needed to see from Joe Gibbs Racing because early on in the season it seemed like they were really struggling. So, hey, you know the race was on Monday. Shout out to all those who were able to make it on Monday. But, yeah, to get to see Martin Truex Jr. get the win, that's always exciting when you're at Dover. Dover's always a race that I enjoy. I got a lot of family down there, so that's one I have on my bucket list to attend for sure.
Much agreed, Max. That's amazing. Great story about your family and everything. That's really cool, bud. But, you know, like you said, 54 race winless streak until he won at Dover, Martin Truex Jr. Some of that has to be on the strategy call by not trying to be rude or disrespectful to James Small, but there have been times in controversy. I mean, you look at Richmond earlier this season and, you know, last season races where they had opportunities to win, just never capitalized.
100%. So, I mean, there obviously needs to be some changes. Congratulations to Martin Truex Jr. on getting the win, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens as the season goes on.
Yeah, like I said, Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Truex, and Martin Truex Jr., both brothers won on two of the NASCAR's National Series with Ryan Truex in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and Martin Truex Jr. in the NASCAR Cup Series. Just what a story. It's just an amazing story.
100%. It's great to see both of them doing well. Martin Truex needed this. Ryan Truex really needed to get a win as well. So to be able to do it at Dover is a great story for them. Hopefully we can see Ryan Truex get full-time soon.
Yeah, much agreed. I think he really deserves a full-time seat at Joe Gibbs Racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. So, I have some controversy that happened at the race on Monday at Dover with the NASCAR Cup Series with Ross Chastain in the first stage. He was going into turn number four, and he spins out Brendan Poole, who's racing Austin Dillon for position, and you had Kyle Larson come around the outside of him, and Brendan Poole just comes up right in front of him, and you had Kyle Larson's race done, finished, because of Ross Chastain. He was leading at the time and spins out Brendan Poole in the first stage.
I know a lot of people don't like Ross Chastain. They don't like the antics that he pulls. They don't like that he is aggressive. He is one of the most aggressive drivers, and the issue is when people try and talk about Ross Chastain, they don't mention the fact that he doesn't really get retaliation that much from other drivers because you can't do that anymore. We saw that with Denny Hamlin. If you admit that, guess what? You're getting fined.
Fined, yeah.
And you're going to be losing some points. So I really think that if NASCAR could maybe, if they're not going to do anything about trying to stop Ross Chastain and some of the antics that he pulls, I mean, it makes the race get some highlights, which NASCAR enjoys, much to the dismay of some of the drivers there. So if NASCAR isn't going to do anything about Ross Chastain, then I think eventually they're going to need to loosen some of their restrictions so we can hopefully see some retaliation. I hate to be that guy, but if Ross Chastain's going to keep poking the bear and there's no consequences, it's just going to get much
worse. Something's coming. You know, like poking the bear, like you said, Brendan Poole had to say this about Ross Chastain after he got wrecked by him. He probably needs to get his butt whooped, Brendan Poole. But, you know, like you said, it's hard for drivers to retaliate against each other. I mean, you look at the 90s with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Terry Labonte at Bristol. Wow. I mean, 1999 Bristol night race. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Sr. He moves Terry Labonte on the last lap and makes a huge crash and wins the race. Like, I'm rattling this cage a little. But you look at also Richmond the same way with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Darrell Waltrip, where they both wrecked. Like, it's like there's so much restriction now. It's like you can't have those exciting duels and battles. And it's, I mean, it's great for NASCAR to have rivalries. That's why the sport is, you know, thriving and keeps going. And it makes the, you know, it makes the fan base is like so diverse that, you know, they like these certain drivers, don't like these certain drivers.
It's interesting to see for sure. I'm never a proponent of just intentionally trying to wreck out someone. I hate when that happens. That's how you get someone seriously injured. But I'm also not a fan of people having no consequences for their actions when we look at NASCAR. So I hope something can get figured out. Either NASCAR just needs to talk with Ross Chastain. That's not going to probably work, but that's the most effective thing they can do right now if they're going to fine everyone who retaliates. So it's interesting to see for sure. So, but hey, you never know what can happen. It's still early in the season.
Yeah. I'd also like to mention two drivers added to the NASCAR 75 greatest drivers. Brad Keselowski, 2012 Cup Series champion, 35 career wins, 18 poles, and 141 top fives added to that list. Much deserved for Brad Keselowski. 2017 champion of Martin Truex Jr. added to the NASCAR 75 greatest drivers list. Much deserved. I believe both those drivers should be on that list.
I understand wanting to put them on. The biggest thing is I want to see that entire list get released and then see who wasn't going to be on before I can make judges and assumptions about it, because I know, like, they had Chase Elliott, and Chase Elliott is so young. He has some wins. He's very popular. But if they're going to be taking away some huge guy in the early 2000s just because it's Chase Elliott, I'm going to be mad. So biggest thing is we're just going to wait and see, and then I can give my full opinions about whether I agree or disagree with the top 25, because Darlington is nearly upon us, and I believe that's when they said the top 25 will be 100% announced.
Speaking of Darlington, like you said, AM Racing has announced their NASCAR throwback for Brett Moffitt at the Darlington race, and it's to Tim Richmond, 1986 to 1987 throwback. That is sharp. That is looking really sharp.
So you see the red, the gold number. It looks nearly identical. That's great.
That's one of the best paint schemes I've seen.
I saw Ryan Blaney try and do a similar design with Menards based on his father, but that didn't end up nearly getting executed as well, just because you have to use the sponsor colors and stuff, and they don't always like to do change it for the throwbacks. But no, I'm excited to see the throwbacks each and every single year. Some of them obviously look much better than others, but that's a sharp one right there.
Oh, yeah. No one really mentions Tim Richmond as one of the greatest racing car drivers, you know, just of all time. That conversation and NASCAR drivers, I mean, he passed away fairly early in his NASCAR career, but, I mean, he did IndyCar, he did open wheel dirt, I mean, and he did NASCAR. I mean, he was a wheel man, and I believe he deserves to have a NASCAR throwback. It's much deserved. Also, NASCAR throwbacks, you have Ross Chastain throwing it back to Dale Jarrett with the UPS Worldwide Express color car. And shout out to my Uncle Don if you're listening. He worked for UPS. This thing is looking sharp.
That is a great version of it. It's great that it can actually secure UPS for this. That's a very common design each and every single throwback weekend, but that's a really sharp-looking throwback.
Much agreed, Max. Much agreed. We're going to go over the upcoming races for the NASCAR Cup Series and NASCAR Truck Series. On Saturday, May 6th at 8 o'clock p.m., the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series will be heading to Kansas Speedway. Should be a really good, exciting race under the lights. But shout out to Daniel Dye. He is driving the Race to Stop Suicide number 43 Chevy for GMS Racing at Kansas this coming weekend. I just think that's really cool that he's supporting a cause like that. And it's just really cool to see that on a race car.
It's important to do something like that when you are in NASCAR. That's something not a lot of people talk about. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I'm all for that NASCAR Truck Series design, and hopefully it can go to Victory Lane and spread the message more, but shout out to Daniel Dye for doing that.
You are listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. This is the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Last bit of news for NASCAR. Legacy Motor Club is owned partially by GMS Racing and Jimmy Johnson. And I think Richard Petty still kind of, I think he's still kind of in the mix with, you know, used to be his team. But they are switching to Toyota starting in 2024 in the NASCAR Cup Series. New manufacturer for Legacy Motor Club.
It's obvious that a change was needed. But to go to Toyota is shocking. That's great for Toyota, though. There are some guys in the Xfinity Series, for example, who have been in the Toyota driver development program, and they can't exactly get up to the Cup Series yet just because there aren't that many opportunities outside of Joe Gibbs Racing. Luckily, 2311 was added, and now we have two more. So I believe, if math is correct, I think we are up to 8 Toyotas that will be running in the field next year. That's great. That gives more opportunities, and hopefully we can see Legacy Motorsport do much better, because, oh boy, they've been struggling. I know Eric Jones had a decent result last time we had All Gas and No Brakes, but still, it's not nearly to the effect that he had been having over the past few years.
Much agreed, Max. Your boy Josh Berry, this is news I got. It was 10 hours ago by Adam Stern on Twitter, is finalizing a long-term management deal with Kevin Harvick Incorporated Management, his agency. You know, that's just, I don't know, that's kind of in the works. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of just like, I'm trying to think of the word to describe it. It's mysterious, I'll put it that way. It's kind of mysterious because he is racing for Junior Motorsports, and Junior Motorsports has like kind of like that relationship with Hendrick, because Dale Jr. raced for Hendrick Motorsports, and Junior Motorsports owns the NASCAR Xfinity Series team, which is owned by Dale Jr., like I said, and a couple NASCAR Cup Series drivers from Hendrick Motorsports will run for Dale Jr. But, Max, do you have any thoughts on Josh Berry finalizing a deal with Kevin Harvick's management company?
Well, first of all, I don't think that this finalization is going to automatically mean that Josh Berry is the next Stuart Haas Racing driver. I do think that this is really smart for Josh Berry, though. Kevin Harvick doing this, he wants to help some of these younger guys succeed well in business, because one of the things people don't talk about a lot is these agencies taking advantage of some of the inexperienced drivers. So that's why Kevin Harvick is there. It's great to see Josh Berry. Hopefully this can lead to bigger and brighter things for him. But no, I don't think this immediately means that he's going to be abandoning Hendrick Motorsports.
Thank you, Max, for that. And this is the last news for the NASCAR Cup Series. Sunday, May 7th at 3 o'clock p.m., you can watch this on Fox Sports 1. NASCAR Cup Series will be at Kansas Speedway, and that's going to wrap it up for your NASCAR news. We're going to take a 30-second break here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We're going to come back, and Garrett Burgle is going to discuss your Indy car news. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
I deserve a reward. After all, I found our dream house.
Have a pickle.
Thanks.
But I found out how much the house was going to cost, past the junk.
But I found us the perfect mortgage.
But then I found out the house had radon. Ugh. The radioactive gas that's the second leading cause of lung cancer.
Yeah, well,
I need two pickles.
I found the phone number to call, 1-800-SOS-RADON, where you can get all the information you need to test your home and fix a radon problem. I'd like some ice cream with this pickle.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Protect your family from radon. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. It is currently 8:04 a.m., and taking over is Garrett Burkle with your IndyCar news. Fire away, Garrett.
So, IndyCar this weekend was at Alabama for the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. So I'll run down the race results. So coming first is Scott McLaughlin. Second, Romain Grosjean. Third, Will Power. Fourth, Pato O'Ward. Fifth, Alex Palou. Sixth, Christian Lundgaard. Seventh, Scott Dixon. Eighth, Alexander Rossi. Ninth, Felix Rosenquist. Tenth, Marcus Ericsson. 11th place, and a pretty impressive showing, you know, for the rookie, was Marcus Armstrong. And I actually forgot to talk about 9th place finisher Felix Rosenquist, who absolutely had one of the best drives of his career. He had to go to the rear of the field because of something went wrong at the start of the race. He had to go to the rear of the field and work his way up from there. He passed, you know, probably
him and Newgard made contact.
Yeah.
And he spun out, and he was all the way in last place and came all the way back to finish ninth.
Mm-hmm. So, again, that just shows you, you know, he had one of the best drives, you know, of his career at the Alabama Grand Prix. And then Marcus Armstrong also got an award for passing the most cars on track. Gaining the most positions from where he started. And so it was a really impressive drive, you know, starting, I think, 26th of 27th. Again, really impressive drive for Armstrong there. 12th, Kyle Kirkwood. 13th, Callum Mylott. 14th, Colton Herta. 15th, Joseph Newgarden. He was running in the top, I think it was top 10, around the top 10, back at the top 10. But anyway, his day ended. I don't know what it was. The radio didn't clarify what it was. I believe it was another failure. Suspension failure, maybe. Or no, because then I really can't remember what it was. But Newgarden, something went wrong in his car. I think it was his tires, actually. I think his tires gave up, and he ended up finishing 15th place. Not great for his championship run, as it feels like he's rather winning races or in that top five, or he's down on the grid. So it's interesting, at least the last few seasons, that's kind of the way Newgarden's had it. And then in 16th place, you have VK, 17th, Ray Hall, 18th, Pagano, and a disappointing season, really disappointing season for the Meyer Shank Racing. And 19th, you have David Malukas, 20th, Santino Ferrucci, who was running solidly in the top 15. He had a bad pit stop towards the end of the race, but Santino, from going from 27th, looked really impressive at one point in the race, but then again, finished P20. 21st, you had Elio Castroneves, and again, just a really disappointing season for both him and Pagano. 22nd, Benjamin Peterson. 23rd, Devin DeFrancesco. 24th, Jack Harvey. On 25th place, you had Connor Daly, and the Ed Carpenter cars have not been competitive all year in any which way, which makes me very nervous for them for the Indianapolis 500. And then on 26th place, you had Augustine Canapino. And rounding out the rear of the field, you had Stingray Robb, who only completed 36 of 90 laps, and a mechanical failure in the car. So that was your race rundown from Barber, and then we'll go over the top 15 in points as of right now.
Sorry, Garrett, to interrupt, but Scott McLaughlin winning the race on a three-stop strategy himself. I believe Newgarden was on that strategy. So was Will Power, and Alexander Rossi was on that strategy as well. And McLaughlin prevailed as the winner after Grosjean makes a mistake in the closing laps, and then something goes wrong with his push to pass that he's out of time on that, which was like a little technical error. But it's just heartbreaking for Roman Grosjean because he's finished second a few times now, and he's came so close to winning his first IndyCar race. Sits on pole, leads laps. It just has not came together yet for him to win his first IndyCar series race.
No, and I expect that trend to continue at least for this month, because I don't think the Andretti package, I think they'll be really strong on the road course, so I definitely could see that. But I don't think their IMS package, I think it will be somewhat improved. But again, I just don't see Roman or maybe any of the Andretti cars outside, maybe Colton Herta, doing well this year. This year's at the Indianapolis 500 this year. Obviously, it's early to say that, but I just don't think the Andretti cars will be very, very good at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this year. But then we'll go over the top 15 in points real quick. Leading your point standings is 2022 Indianapolis 500 Marcus Ericsson. In second place, you have Pato O'Ward, who I think he's finished, or let's see, this season he has, let's see if it shows me, he has three top fives and three top tens as well. So again,
consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, his three top five finishes are great this year. Alex Palou, who again is kind of like Pato, has not won a race this year, but again, he's, you know, obviously around the top 10 and solidly in third place. They're only nine behind. Fourth place, Scott McLaughlin. Fifth place, Roman Grosjean, who again has a couple top five finishes this season. Again, he'll get his first win eventually sometime this season. And sixth, I think you have Joseph Newgarden. Or sixth, you have Joseph Newgarden. Seventh, you have Will Power. Eighth, Scott Dixon. Ninth, Kyle Kirkwood. 10th, Colton Herta. 11th, Callum Mylott. 12th, Christian Lundgaard. 13th, David Malukas. 14th, Alexander Rossi. And 15th, Felix Rosenqvist.
Thank you, Garrett, for that. I'm going to go over the rookie standings, ladies and gentlemen, with Marcus Armstrong leading 62 points to 47 over Augustin Canapino for Juncos Hollinger Racing. Marcus Armstrong drives for Chip Ganassi Racing. The third place is Stingray Rob for I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of the team. Dale Quinn Racing, excuse me, and Rick Ware Racing with Stingray Rob. And then Benjamin Peterson in fourth for A.J. Foyt Racing with 34 points. Garrett, who's your pick to win the Indianapolis 500 this year?
It's going to be a Ganassi or a McLaren, I would assume. Obviously, you can never count out Penske there. But the way their last two 500s have gone...
I'm taking Joseph Newgarden to win his first.
It depends, because again, I think they'll be stronger than they have been the last 2 years. But I also think that they were so far behind last year that I'm wondering if they can really make noise this year. So that's why I'm not going to take a Penske. I think it's going to be Arrow McLaren car. And it's hard to pick between, because I think, you know, Felix Rosenquist obviously finished fourth there last year. I'm not going to take him just because I don't think he has as much experience as the other three guys do. Obviously, Pato's been really strong at IMS. Kanaan, obviously one of the best of all time. And then Rossi's always strong at IMS 2016 500 winner. So I'm going to – I think they'll give the best car to Award because they have all season, obviously. So I'm going to pick Pato Award to win the Indianapolis 500. And then I'll give you my dark horse pick. It is Ryan Hunter-Reay off of Ryan Reinbolt Racing. That's my dark horse. Santino was really competitive in that car. It ran up in the top five, you know, a lot of the day. And I think with Hunter-Reay's experience, I think that's really going to help the team. Again, I think Santino's a very talented driver. I also think, you know, former Indianapolis 500 champion, a guy that knows that place, you know, better than almost anyone else. So I'm going to take – so my pick is Pato Award, but my my dark horse is definitely Ryan Hunter-Reay, and I could see either of those guys winning the Indianapolis 500 this year.
Yeah, I took either all Team Penske. I'd love to see Scott McLaughlin, Justin Newgarden, Will Power, one of those guys win for Team Penske, and I'm a huge Team Penske fan. You know that, Justin Newgarden. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ganassi cars run really strong. Arrow McLaren, those cars are, you know, hopefully they're running really strong because I really see those cars really running strong all day at the Indianapolis 500 being really competitive. But I really feel like that, you know, you can't count on Elio Castroneves and Meyer Shank Racing. And you have 2019 Indianapolis 500 winner with Simon Pagenaud, four-time winner with Elio Castroneves. I know it's not been the season they have wanted this year to start, but that could all turn around at Indianapolis if they just really bring competitive cars.
I don't see it because – and I don't see it with the Carpenter cars either because usually, I mean, Daly, you know, has been up at the front the last two races. But I don't see it from either of those teams. Meyer Shank, you have a good point. They'll probably have a better super speedway package than they did at Texas. So that makes you kind of wonder. Again, you have two of the best setup guys there, and Elio and Pagenaud.
Just like dark horse picks. Those are kind of like what I've seen so far.
I get what you're saying, but they were just so far off at Texas. I guess Elio finished in the top 10, but he finished a lap behind. So I don't really know. I really want to see Pagenaud, you know, do a lot better than he has. And I think he can get that. I especially think him maybe more than Elio because you have that you have the Grand Prix, which he's won, you know, so many times. I think there could be some speed there. I just don't see it. Another guy that I think had as a dark horse is David Balukis in the Dale
really
Coyne car.
Really strong. Been really strong with that Dale Coyne car.
Yeah. Again, I could see him, you know, being another dark horse to win. So I think it's Hunter-Reay and Balukis are my dark horse picks. And then I guess for my 500 picks, it would be obviously Pato, and then I'll pick. I think Pillow's going to be really strong.
Any
too.
Thoughts on Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing coming to the Indianapolis 500? Because, I mean, you look at Graham Rahal, and, you know, in 2019, it marked the fifth straight year for him where he finished. That was for him in the championship. I'm completely offline here. But, I mean, he's usually really competitive when it comes to the Indianapolis 500 and just, you know, racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And again, they were really strong in 2020. Them and the Andretti cars dominated pretty much. Well, obviously Ganassi with Dixon. But anyway, my point remains. They won the 2020 Indianapolis 500. They have been so off pace. Other than last weekend when Lundgaard's had a pretty solid season.
Yeah.
But when Lundgaard's car was actually really good, they have been awful this season.
Yeah.
Other than a couple times when, again, Lundgaard did probably outdrive his car, I think this weekend they got a good grip on at least Lundgaard, which is great. They were strong at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course last year. Lundgaard finished second in the July race. That's a really good sign for them. But come 500 month, I think they qualified terrible last year. The whole team did. But come 500 month, again, I think Sato was really good for that team because, again, I think he knew a lot about that track in particular. But and I think Ray Hall does too. But I'm just saying, you know, they were really off the pace last year in Indianapolis. They were all, if bump day was a thing, they all would have been on the bubble. So again, that really makes me worried for this year in them, is there is one bumped car. And I think, and again, they have Catherine Legg in that seat, who hasn't been in an Indy car since 2013. And that really worries me. That team really worries me come the month of May in Indianapolis.
I really hope that Graham Rahal can win an Indianapolis 500. His father did, Bobby Rahal, in 1986. I mean, he's been really competitive, just bad luck. And, you know, I just hope things get, you know, turned around for Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan racing this season. Just things get better. Because last season it was the Christian Lundgaard show. I mean, he was out.
Lundgaard absolutely outdrives the cars that they give him.
Yeah.
And it's really wild to see.
Out-qualifying, you know. Better results than, you know, Graham Rahal and Jack Harvey. No disrespect. It was just the facts last season. And, you know,
with the car they give him, if you put, I think, most other drivers in the series, you put them in Lundgaard's car, I don't think he's getting the results Lundgaard is. I don't think they're anywhere close. I think Lundgaard is a top five driver in the series, period. And that is somewhat of a hot take. And I think Rahal is giving him the slight advantage, maybe, come car wise, but I absolutely think that Christian Lundgaard is absolutely just outperforming the car he has, and I think it's really nice to see.
I think he might have a shot at that Ganassi seat this coming season, off season.
It's all about money. If they can find the money to do it, then yes.
Because Pelot's going to be gone. It's either, in my book, it's either Dave Malukas from Dale Coyne after the season, or Christian Lundgaard from Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan Racing after this season.
I would get, because I've heard talkings of Malukas's father, who owns HMD, purchasing up the entire Dale Coyne saga and then going to HMD Racing, which in that case, I think it's Lundgaard's seat. Another guy to look out for, because again, I think that Ganassi seat, there's, again, the three guys you said, Malukas, Lundgaard, and then the other one that really intrigues me is Santino Ferrucci in that car. Because, again, Ferrucci had been one of the most... He's great at Indianapolis. And Chip Ganassi, when they were making the deal between him and Pelot, Chip Ganassi, basically they came... It came down to, do you want to win the series with Pelot or do you want to win the 500 with Santino? Chip went the... Chip wanted to go Santino's route, but went with Pelot instead because some butting heads have gotten Santino's way of that seat. So that's another guy I think you should be on the lookout for, is Ferrucci in that in the Ganassi car. Just because, again, him and Chip have somewhat passed. And again, I think Santino's one of the best drivers in the series as well. I just think he's stuck in a Foyt car. So that's another guy to look at. Those are my three contenders for that seat next year, but that's off topic. So
thank you for that, Garrett. Thank you for IndyCar News. The results from Grand Prix of Alabama at Barber and our picks to win the Indianapolis 500, just discussing everything this coming May. I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, and also AEW's 100 Days Out show is tomorrow at 9 o'clock again, so watch out for that as well.
Make sure on the CW.
CW,
Hulu,
CW. Yep.
Make sure to tune in that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for that, Garrett. We're going to take a 30-second break here on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Coming up next is Owen Pulley to discuss Formula One news and the results from the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. You are listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show only on Indy's Giant 90.9.
Being grandparents, we assumed WIC wasn't for us. We were scraping by as it was. And then we had this baby to feed. A friend at church told us our granddaughter could qualify for WIC. So we checked into it, and she did. We really felt like we had made new friends on our first visit to the WIC office, and I'd say they loved watching her grow just about as much as we did.
WIC. Feed your family's future. This institution is an equal opportunity provider.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Take it away, Owen, with your Formula One news.
Yeah, so we saw the Azerbaijan Grand Prix this past weekend, and another victory coming from Sergio Perez on a street circuit.
I called it, too.
Yeah, I mean, just performing really well right now. Max Verstappen in second place, Charles Leclerc in third, and Alonso in fourth, staying consistently in those top fives, his first non-podium of the year, but still staying in the top five at fourth place. And Carlos Sainz in fifth place, Hamilton in sixth, but another victory for Sergio Perez.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, Sergio Perez had a really dominant car. I mean, the Red Bull car has been dominant all season long. The Ferraris just did not have the pace. You looked in the sprint race, just did not have the pace whatsoever compared to those Red Bulls, and Sergio Perez is the street course king when it comes to Formula One.
And looking at the driver's standings, Max Verstappen in first place with two wins and four podiums, 6 points ahead of his teammate Sergio Perez at 87 points, two wins and three podiums, Fernando Alonso in third at 60, and Lewis Hamilton at fourth at 48, and Sainz in fifth at 34. And then looking at constructors, obviously Red Bull in first place, 180, a commanding lead over Aston Martin, who's at 87. Third place Mercedes, fourth place at 76, fourth place Ferrari at 62, and fifth place McLaren at 14.
Thank you for that, Owen. Owen, do you have any more Formula One news?
Yeah, coming up is the Miami Grand Prix. Looking at the dates real quick, let me find that. May 5th through the 7th, that is this weekend. Friday through Sunday, but we'll be busy with the marathon. But you know, I'll try to tune in as much as I can to the Miami GP.
I'm really excited. I am extremely excited for the Miami Grand Prix. It's great to see Formula One coming more to the U.S. and having more races in the United States. As you know, thanks to Drive to Survive from Netflix, that Formula One's got a big following in the United States now.
Oh, for sure, and a lot of people are wanting to get into this new sport. A lot of people from America are with IndyCar and NASCAR, but, you know, another people like racing and, you know, another circuit, or not circuit, but another, you know, league, I should say, of people racing.
Much agreed, Owen. Is that it, bud?
That's all I got for today, just looking out for that Miami GP.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Give a big shout-out to my co-host Owen Poley, Maxwell Gilley, and Garrett Burkle for all of their news, whether it's NASCAR, IndyCar, or Formula One. Couldn't do the show without them. Greatly appreciate of them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not listening to this show, what are you guys doing? If you're a big race fan out there, we cover NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, SRX, you name it, on All Gas and No Brakes. This is your station for variety, Indy's Giant 90.9. I mean, Owen, like, got to get these people to listen, man.
For real? What are you doing if you're not listening to this show?
This show is great. It's an amazing show. Things are getting a lot more busy in the IndyCar news when it comes closer to the Indianapolis 500, and we are extremely excited about that. You can catch the All Gas and No Brakes radio show every Wednesday morning, 7:45 to 8:30, only on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. Also on Audio Boom. If you miss an episode live, that's okay, ladies and gentlemen. Just go on to audioboom.com, search for All Gas and No Brakes, or WBDG 90.9 FM, and you can see our latest episodes and works on Indy's Giant 90.9. For Landon Nelson, for Owen Pulley, for Garrett Burker, for Maxwell Gilley, Big Nelly is out. Hope everyone has a fantastic day. Coming up next is Game from 8:30 to 9:15. Should be an amazing episode and crazy one as always here on Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety. We'll see you later, Indianapolis. Big Nelly out!